Sorry, I just got distracted. So as you were clapping, Ahsoka decided to like
join in. I heard her
sprint around in a circle, clawing the carpet while running around in a circle. It was very strange.
As is her right.
I think she's a bit bored. I need to stop neglecting her after we're done recording.
Fair. She never gets any attention, and we know this.
Right, so I guess that's our cold open now. Our cold open was meant to be me explaining to MJ why I've been watching every single version of the, like, every movie, reading every novel, watching two TV shows, because there was two fucking TV shows, of The Ring. The horror series had one big film outside of Japan, at least, in 2002, the one that the tape kills you.
I remember The Ring 2 being also pretty big.
Yeah, it was probably big. I watched it at the time, and I remember not liking it very much. So I always kind of... I don't remember much from it. I just don't remember not liking it. I remember on the DVD, there was like a short that was like a little prequel to it, just called Rings. And I remember preferring that to the actual movie. I've taken on a quest to go through in order the entire series, and there's so much more than you would think there is. The way every horror franchise kind of gets milked to death. There's a million Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween films. The Ring is like that as well, but most people don't realize because they're all most of it is Japanese. So there's just like 10 sequels you haven't heard of. There's same way as there was a Freddy versus Jason movie, Alien versus Predator. There was a The Ring versus The Grudge movie in Japan.
Which I just love. It's just the battle of the unmanageable hair.
Yeah, I haven't gotten, a bit. I haven't gotten to that part of my rewatch. As far as I understand from like reading a synopsis, the plot is basically someone like watches the tape from The Ring in the house from The Grudge, and the two ghosts end up fighting each other.
That is a very serious edgelord right there. That is the equivalent of like saying Bloody Mary three times into a mirror while walking three times under a ladder, stabbing a black cat as you go.
Constructing a set, like the whole, was it Yanni versus Laurel thing? Except constructing a way to say Bloody Mary and Candyman at the same time so you could hear it either way.
Candy Mary. Candy Mary. The Candy Mary. But you did not tell us, Quiva, how did this state of affairs come about?
So there is an obscure survival horror game on the Dreamcast that came out in 2000, which is 2 years before the American Ring movie came out.
Oh, this is so on brand.
Yes. It's called The Ring Terror's Realm. It's a survival horror game. It's not very good. It's basically a Resident Evil clone, but it's licensed from The Ring. And almost everyone's reaction, I would think, upon playing it or watching it or hearing much about it, including my own, was, what the fuck does this have to do with The Ring? Because the plot is basically a woman in America is starting a job at a virus research lab, and her boyfriend just died mysteriously, who also worked there just before this. And then she goes in for her first day of the job, and the whole place goes into lockdown because of a virus outbreak. And then she finds out her boyfriend died while running a program called Ring on his computer. And she finds this program and she starts it. And it, like, she ends up in this like VR game thing where it's like weird, fucked up, post-apocalyptic. There's monsters everywhere, and she's shooting monsters. And so you kind of you go between the office sections, I guess, of the game where you're investigating the boyfriend dying, and then go between the VR part where it's like a blatant ripoff of Resident Evil and you're shooting monsters and it's pretty bad.
If it ain't broke, steal someone else's intellectual property.
And it's more stuff from The Ring does end up happening as you go on, and like there's a tape. You get to see that they have the version of the tape from the 1998 Japanese Ring movie is just in the game as well. But yeah, so you kind of think, what the fuck does any of that shit, post-apocalypse, VR, virtual reality bullshit, have to do with The Ring? And the answer is...
Everything.
No, actually, yeah, a lot of the stuff is being pulled from, like, the second and third novels in the series, which...
I've heard Cuiva talk about them. This is not the podcast for this. My friend Betsy Spear, who is an astonishingly talented comedian, does have a podcast called Bad Book Bash, which might be a suitable vehicle. I should put you guys in touch. You're going to be horrified. She's very, very, very dark, and we love her so much.
Yeah, I've been rambling for long enough on this. Anyway, I could go for much longer, but the point of it is that I was fascinated by the kind of cultural disconnect there, where you would encounter all of these ideas in a work and wonder, as an adaptation, and wonder, what the fuck does this have to do with the original thing? And the answer is it actually does. It's just from like a different branch of it that most people wouldn't know, because they did not adapt most of that shit into films. And the time they did try and adapt the second book into a film, it bombed terribly and everyone hated it. And then they just made another sequel the year later that ignored it entirely and was just like, okay, that never happened. Let's just go the different way.
So my current autistic special interest is climate change, resilience, and urban planning. So if you want to shout that about that at me on Twitter and send Cuiva on some resources, then we will...
My obsession has continued to grow just because of the sheer amount of like bullshit I've never heard of related to The Ring that there is otherwise, because it's like a lot of stuff from Japan doesn't get translated. I also don't know any Japanese, so I like can't actually like read any of it, so I know it exists. And I'm not learning Japanese for this. That's my obsession.
I was just gonna say,
my obsession does not
I
go
see
that far.
Where this is going.
I'm not.
Are you sure?
No, like if I'm going to start learning languages, there's a bunch of other ones higher up on the priority list that I would spend time on.
Like Chinese, the language in which the novel we ostensibly make this podcast about is written in. Speaking of which,
one of the Ring novels has been there's one novel that has not been translated to English, but it has been translated to Chinese. So,
several of our listeners will note that this is not the type of situation you can drop hints in.
Yeah, if anyone wants to translate Tide by, if any of our listeners is just wants to translate an entire novel from Japanese to English, or Chinese to English, I guess, for free, and send it on to me.
We'd be worried about you.
Yeah. Yeah, A, thank you very much, and B...
Are you okay?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I've probably done weirder things in pursuit of my own special interests.
Remember when I transcribed an entire novel over the last year for no reason?
I mean, it was a novel that had the same title as your hometown.
So. And no other connection to it.
Apparently not. Well, Tramore is quite close to Clashmore.
A car, I guess.
It's in the same county. Anyway, yeah. Book. Book,
oh, yeah.
Murder Monkey.
Yeah.
What we're here for.
In further preamble, I said last time that I'd try to look up again whenever the novel talks about Wukong looking like a thunder deity, what that means. And I actually found it this time, I'm quite sure. It wasn't actually that hard to find. I don't know what gave me trouble the first time. Lai Gong. L-E-I-G-O-N-G is the you know, romanization. I'll link to a fucking Wikipedia article in the show notes. But it's like a god of thunder has a beak, a bird's beak, and big old wings, either
big
bat,
old wing,
bat
big
wings
old flappy boy.
Or bird wings.
Flap, flap.
And like usually like blue skin. And yeah, there's I actually found context for that. So, you know, bunch of stories about them itself, but you can read about it otherwise. The Pokemon Raikou. I'm not even sure I pronounce it. The from Gold and Silver anyway, the electric legendary dog from Gold and Silver.
Puppy. Yeah. Danger puppy.
Is partially named after like the Japanese pronunciation of Lai Gong, and in the Chinese translations of those games, it's just called Lai Gong.
Very cool.
So there's some cultural reference points.
Yay.
Cool. So this is definitely the longest ramble we've done before starting an episode, I think.
Yeah.
Which is very mild compared to a lot of podcasts.
So yeah, for instance, what something that rhymes with a Smash Future.
Mm.
I actually quite enjoy that podcast. I don't know why I'm mean about it.
I listen to a podcast called The Electronic Wireless Show that's ostensibly about computer games, and they always have like a topic for the episode of which they spend like 10 minutes on generally per episode while they just chat about other shit for the rest of it. It's great.
Such is the way.
Yeah, so we're on to chapter 57 of Journey to the West, which is what we're meant to be talking about. We are. We're almost 60% of the way through. We're gonna continue the triumphant return of the tight fillet spell. There's also gonna be some monkey cannibalism.
Of course.
So be aware of that, I guess. Why is there monkey cannibalism? Well, if you recall, at the end of the last chapter, Sun Wukong, the Monkey King, Pilgrim Sun, etc., the great sage equal to heaven, got banished again for killing a load of people.
I mean, it's Tuesday, in other words.
Yeah.
It's the root. On again, off again situations can be so toxic.
So he is wondering where the fuck he's going to go. So first he thinks about returning to the Water Curtain Cave, but he's worried that the other monkeys will make fun of him. And he considers going back to the Celestia Palace, but he thinks that up in heaven they probably won't actually put up with him for very long sticking around.
That's a surprising, not surprising insecurity, but a surprising moment of self-awareness from...
Yeah.
From Mr. What do you mean you don't want to talk to me after I stole all your shit?
So yeah, he considers going out east where there's all the islands where various immortals live, but he's kind of ashamed to show his face there now at this point, after being banished. And so the last thing is he thinks about going to visit his old friend, Ao Guang, the dragon lord. But he says he thinks he can't bear going to visit the dragon palaces as a supplicant rather than from a position of power, which kind of, I guess, shows his... I guess he doesn't really have that many illusions about his relationships with the Dragon Kings either.
Well, this is a hard moment, but it's going to be good for him in the long run.
Yeah, so he does decide to try going back and begging Tripitaka for forgiveness. This doesn't work at all. Tripitaka doesn't even say anything to Wukong. He just recites the Tight Fillet spell immediately. And then afterwards, he just asks, why the hell are you going back to bother me like this?
Nowhere else to go. He is a strong pilgrim who don't need no monkey.
Well, Wukong says he's worried that Tripitaka will never be able to get to the Western Heaven without him.
Oh.
Tripitaka's response is, you are a murderous ape. Heaven knows how many times you've brought troubles on me. I absolutely don't want you anymore. Whether I can reach there or not, it's of no concern of yours. Leave quickly. If you don't, I'll start the magic word again. And this time, I won't stop. Not until your brains are squeezed out.
Jesus.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, yes, Wukong has got him out of a bunch of sticky situations, but I think we forget how much physical or spiritual backup this kid actually has. I mean, isn't he followed by a bunch of sort of minor deities at all times just to make sure he doesn't do something too stupid?
Yeah, although they don't seem to generally directly intervene in threats.
Yeah.
They have more subtle jobs to be doing. But yeah,
they just like the drama.
Wukong, I'm petting a Thogan, she just bit me a little bit. She if I put my hand too close to her stomach, she like grabs it with her claws, pulls it into her hand, bites it once, and then starts licking it. It's kind of mixed messages.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing to for me to awe, but I've met Asog, and it's kind of like, yeah, you go, you do your thing, sweetheart, commit atrocities. Yeah.
So yeah,
very cute cat.
Yeah, it's funny to think about, like, I watch her looking at birds out the window sometimes and chirping and like staring intently at them. It's like, it's cute, she's making these little cute noises, but also those little cute noises mean I really want to kill this.
Oh, adorable little murder machine.
Mm.
See, it, maybe that was Wukong's first mistake, should have been a cat.
Yeah, if Wukong was like a small cat, he would literally get away with murder.
I mean, he could shapeshift.
This is true.
He has the power to be small cat.
He
should try this. Does he try this?
Mm.
No, nobody listens to MJ.
No. I mean, it worked for Bobby.
Mm.
Where the hell was I in the script?
Squeeze the type spell until your brains splatter everywhere. Or words to that effect.
Yeah, Wukong leaves, but he's getting very bitter about this. He starts to think that Tripitaka is just very ungrateful, and he decides to go tell on him to Guan Yin.
I want to hear about this.
Yeah. So on his way in, he snaps at the boy skilled in wealth, you know, formerly Red Boy, for making a smart comment on him about him. Making a smart comment on him? What? Making a smart comment to him. Wukong more or less calls him ungrateful too, saying like, if it wasn't for me, you'd still be a fiend causing trouble. Now you have a good job working for Bodhisattva.
It's your cousin who really fucked up his earlier life, and now, and then his uncle got him a civil service job, and now he's relatively chill and pays his rent on time.
Yeah. You are obsessed with civil service jobs.
I am not obsessed with civil service. I cannot help it if the heaven is this particular cosmology is, or at least this telling of it, is organized spectacularly similarly to the civil service. You know? To the Irish civil service in 2022.
Fair. So yeah, I'm not retranslating this conversation because it relies on puns. So, but yeah, Red Boy says he was just teasing. And while they're bickering, a white cuckoo flies back and forth in front of them, which is a signal from Guanyin that she's summoning them. So Wukong goes, bows to her, and immediately starts sobbing. And he says he tells her that his only wish is to do what's right, cleanse himself of sins, and destroy the deviant. Like, it's a weird, it's not deviant, it's deviates. Deviates. But as a noun rather than as a verb.
The deviates? Yeah, that's a strange one. Not deviants, but yeah, things that deviate.
Yeah. But Tripitaka is, he's so ungrateful. He can't recognize a virtuous cause. He can't tell black from white. And Guanyin says to tell her about the black and white, what's going on. And Wukong finally explains what actually happened.
I just murdered these people, yeah, right?
So Guanyin calmly tells him,
you're not supposed to murder people.
Yeah, killing the bandits was entirely unnecessary. Killing demons is one thing, but you really don't have to take human life. You know, just frighten them away if you need to. You are powerful enough that is not a problem.
See, it all came from his insecurities.
Mm-hmm. So Wukong is still crying, but he says, okay, I may not have acted in a virtuous manner, but I should be given a chance to atone.
You've been given like eight.
Yeah. I don't deserve, well, he's working an angle here.
Of course.
I don't deserve to be banished. You know, you just recite the loose fillet spell for me, and I'll give you the golden headband back, and I'll go back to living in the water curtain cave.
He does realize he was in prison.
That's a good point, but that's she smiling, taking, I think, some degree of pleasure in this, tells him that there is no such thing as the loose fillet spell. Buddha gave her a cassock, a staff, and three fillets for the pilgrimage, and she was only given spells to tighten them. They don't go the other way.
Oh boy.
So Wukong says, okay, I'll go ask Buddha to take it off then. But Guanyin tells him to hold on for a second. She wants to have a look at the Tong monk's fortune. She tells Wukong that soon Tripitaka will encounter a fatal ordeal, and he will need your help. I will tell him to take you back when that happens. So Wukong sits down with Guanyin.
So are they just waiting around for this to happen in Guanyin's office?
Yep.
Okay.
So Tripitaka is on the road again with Baji and Wu Jing and the horse minus Wukong. They're 50 li out from where they were when they banished Wukong, having traveled about half the day. And Tripitaka is hungry, and he asks Baji to go see if there's somewhere around they can beg for food. But he can't. He goes, looks off, can't find anywhere, and he sets off again to just get some water. And Baji is taking ages to get the water, and Tripitaka is getting very, very thirsty. So Wu Jing decides to go see if he can hurry Baji up, and he leaves Tripitaka alone with the horse briefly. So suddenly, Tripitaka hears a loud noise, jumps up, and he sees Pilgrim Son Wukong before him, kneeling on the side of the road, his two hands holding high a porcelain cup, offering him some nice, cool water. So Tripitaka refuses to take water off him. He says, if I die of thirst on the spot, I'll consider it my martyrdom. Fuck off. He doesn't say fuck off in the translation, yeah, obviously.
He says fuck off in monk.
Yeah. So Pilgrim Son gets angry again, accuses Tripitaka of humiliating him, whacks Tripitaka on the back with his iron rod, knocking him out, somehow not actually killing him, steals the luggage and flies off. So what the fuck was Baji doing? So when he flew to get water, he spotted a hut that he'd previously missed because it was kind of behind a rocky formation kind of thing. Transforms himself into a more human appearance, and he goes to beg for food. And all the men of the house are out working fields, but there's two women home just after finishing and packing some rice to bring out. And they give Baji what's left over from that batch. It's actually fine. It's just the reason he was taking a bit longer than expected to get the water. There's actually nothing gone wrong. So after leaving the house, he runs into Wujing looking for him. They bring back the rice and water to Tripitaka and find him face down on the ground and the luggage gone. Baji thinks the bandits came back to kill him, and he tells Wujing to mind the body while he goes off to find a town somewhere where he can buy a coffin and bury him. Wujing decides to actually have a
check
look
to see if he's dead.
He's not. He's still breathing. He wakes up, but he tells Tweedledum and Tweedledee about what happened. Baji is pissed and he wants to go charge off to the Flower Fruit Mountain to demand the luggage back. But Wujing wants to take care of Tripitaka first. So they bring him to the house where Baji got the food from, and they ask the women there if he can stay there for a while. And so when Tripitaka has had some tea and a bit to eat, they talk about getting the luggage back. And Baji knows the way to the Flower Fruit Mountain. He's been there once before. And he volunteers to go. But Tripitaka thinks it would be better to send Wujing. Wukong and Baji have never exactly gotten along very well.
Also, Baji couldn't find his own ass with both hands. So,
Tripitaka tells Wujing to be cautious. If Wukong is willing to hand back over the luggage, just... I quote, pretend to thank him and come back without making a fuss. If he won't, don't try and argue with him. Just leave immediately and go directly to Guanyin to ask for help. And before he leaves, Wujing tells Baji to take care of their master properly and don't slack off.
Yeah. It's like, do you want Baji doing the sensitive task, or do you want Baji trying to keep you alive? I mean, I'd probably give up the luggage for loss, to be honest.
Wujing is not nearly as fast as Wukong is, and it takes him 3 days to reach the Flower Fruit Mountain. And there he finds Pilgrim Sun reading aloud the Pilgrim's Travelry script. I've read it out before, so I won't say the entire thing again. But there is an addition at the end from the Queen of the Women's State wrote. So the main text of the letter is from the Tang Emperor, and he talks in the first person plural while describing his orders to Tripitaka. But the bit the Queen added is actually written in the first person singular, as if Tripitaka had written it.
Okay.
Since leaving my noble nation, I have passed through several countries, and in mid-journey I have made 3 disciples, the eldest being Pilgrim's Son Wukong, the second being Zhu Wuneng, 8 Rules, and the third being Sha Wujing, Monk. Eight Rules is what Baji means. I've been calling him Baji, but use translation actually does call him 8 Rules. Wukong is reading out this letter. All the other monkeys are kind of listening to him and laughing at it. Wujing asks Pilgrim Son, still calling him elder brother, why he's reading out the letter. And he is immediately seized by the monkeys, who haul him before their king, who asks Wujing, who are you that you dare approach our immortal cave without permission? Wujing tries to appeal to his ego and tells him that, you know, even if our master is impetuously and wrongly put blame on you, even though he refused to take you back, you know, if you're
sitting here reading that out like a like you're crying over a picture of your ex.
If you can recall his previous kindness, please return the luggage and come back with me to see our master again. Even if you don't want to go back, please just give back the luggage and you can enjoy your old age here, having done us a good turn. Yeah, he just laughs at Wu Jing. He's no interest in joining the pilgrimage again. He's going actually to start his own pilgrimage.
The blackjack and hookers.
Yeah, exactly. He's gonna get the scriptures from Buddha himself, and he's going to become famous all across Jambudvipa. And Wu Jing points out that it's not his pilgrimage, it's Tripitaka's. Tripitaka is, you know,
the chosen one nominally, and all that jazz.
Nominally, but not really the main character. Mm. Buddha isn't just going to hand over the scriptures if you're not with the Tong monk. But he has that covered. He has his own Tong monk. In fact, he has his own Baji and Wu Jing as well, and his own white horse. Perfect copies of them.
Okay.
And he calls them out, and he has the whole gang here. Perfect likenesses.
This is less like crying over the picture of your ex and more like stealing your ex's clothes to put on a mannequin that you can prop up next to you while you watch TV. Like, we've crossed a line.
So this pisses off Wu Jing, and he immediately swings at and kills the other Wu Jing, who turns out to be just an ordinary monkey that's been transformed. They're all just monkeys play acting at doing the pilgrimage.
I mean, I don't know why they're going along with it, but
if the Monkey King tells you to do something, are you going to refuse?
Good point.
The monkeys attack the real Wu Jing in retaliation, but he manages to escape. And Pilgrim Sun does not bother to chase him. He just has the monkeys take the dead fake Wu Jing, skin him, fry him up, serve him for dinner, and then selects a new monkey to be the replacement Xia Wu Jing.
Okay.
So the real Wu Jing, meanwhile, heads to the Potalaka Mountain to report to Guan Yin everything that Wu Kong has done. But when he gets an audience with her, he sees that none other than Sun Wukong standing next to her. He's already here. And he immediately tries to attack him, accusing him of being there to try and hoodwink Guan Yin.
I think Guan Yin's relatively hoodwink proof.
Yeah. Guan Yin tells him to stop, and he puts the staff down. He tells her everything that Wukong has been doing over the last 4 days. He hit Tripitaka, he ran off, he's doing this fake pilgrimage. And Guan Yin tells him, you know, you shouldn't falsely accuse people of things. Wukong has been here with me the last 4 days.
Maybe she is a little bit able to be hoodwinked.
Or that's not the
imposter.
There's an imposter, Wukong.
I don't know, it could go either way, because he can do that thing where one hair is another Wukong.
This is also true. He can do that. I guess you'll have to find out what's going on with the two Wukongs in the next chapter.
Dun dun dun. Yeah.
Also, I want to, we've had our fair share of asides. Or not even aside, just getting sidetracked to start the episode. I would like to put out just a general plea as well at the end here, to people just to stop releasing media. There's too much. Fucking Ducks. Kate Beaton is out today. Freedom Planet 2 is out today.
There are just too many things.
Spark the Electric Jester 3, which I know no one listening to this will have heard of, but still it came out.
I've never heard of this. Yeah,
it came out 2 weeks ago. Have not been able to find time to play it. And now it's just too much shit. It's too much shit.
Too many things. I've always said we need to go back. Just roll everything back and we'll go back just for a few years to just telling stories around the fire. and this podcast. No other podcast, just that and this podcast.
There's too many things out there, and a surprising number of them are The Ring.
There are too many things about there, and far too many of them are not us.
Also this. So yeah, that's my general plea to our audience. If you know someone who is an artist, tell them to stop.
Yeah. Or well, if you would like to see more things that are in fact us, or at least me, I'm your favorite. And you are in Dublin. There is a show in the Dublin Fringe called Platforms, which is a drag satire of the alt-right, and I am in it. I am shouting about transphobia, and then sobbing about transphobia, and then beating a puppet about transphobia.
These are all of the best things to do about transphobia? I don't know.
I mean, well it's, there are things to do.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that I am in, and please go see it. Also, lots of very talented trans comedians and drag artists are in it, and it's going to be great.
Throw in a shout out to the podcast as well. Do it. Do it.
And this podcast is cool. There are now three things. There's that show, this podcast, and telling stories around the campfire.
Yeah. The only things that are allowed.
Yeah.